We are Two Guys Gaming. Hello and welcome. As usual, even though we are under the Two Generations banner, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to Dragons of Deceit, the new Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman novel from the Dragonlance series. We're almost done with Dragons of Deceit. I only have three more episodes. This one is going out a day late from when I promised it in the previous episode, but yesterday I prioritized the YouTube and my six, half a dozen or so viewers over my confirmed two or three listeners. What can I say, folks? It's a numbers game, and I'm a numbers guy. Regardless, in this episode, we are going through chapter 33 and chapter 34. There are only three more chapters left, 35 and 36 on Friday, most likely, because we're going to Hari Kondabolu concert tomorrow, and the chapter 37, and the wrap-up on Sunday. And then next week, I will get started with Ready Player One. Okay, chapter 33. Taz gets his wish. The time travel device deposits them inside the end of the last home on the night when the first book starts. Taz gives introductions to Karen and Destina. Karen, awed, suddenly becomes the focus of Destina's attention when Taz tells her that he took the device from him as they were traveling. Karen realizes, or at least suggests, that their presence endangers the history of that night. He starts to formulate a plan to get them out of the inn to activate the device without being seen. Taz protests, then notices that Fizban isn't in the inn when he is supposed to be there. They go back and forth about it. Taz recounts the history and finally comes to the conclusion that something is wrong. Karen tries again to activate the device. This time, he notices Raistlin watching Mary / Destina. She wishes to get far away and tells him as much. Then, she hears the name Sturm and changes her mind. Taz takes her to meet the companions. The High Theocrat accosts Karen as a false prophet. Tika distracts him with more wine. Sturm introduces himself to Karen, having heard that he comes from Palanthas. Taz breaks it to them that he's married. Each of the party reacts in a manner that you'd expect. Weis and Hickman use Karen as a way to acclimate the newbies into the party by giving a brief physical description and some personality traits. You'll have to read the book to get those. Karen and Sturm renew their conversation with a discussion of Huma and Magius. Raistlin interjects and tries to ask Karen about the staff. Taz interrupts and mentions Destina's gem. He gives a rundown, sure to speak about Lord Soth, which puts most off of the scent. Raistlin, however, believes Taz. Karen now has to worry about Raistlin getting the gray gem. Mary changes the subject to the blue crystal staff. Taz, unaware of the full ramifications of their quote-unquote visit, goes to grab the staff from Goldmoon. Riverwind, fully unaware of who this Kender is and why he just accosted the woman he swore to protect, chases after Taz. Mary tries to use the distraction to slip an elixir of cowardice into Sturm's drink. Raistlin stops her, blows her cover. Karen decides just to activate the device, and Taz arrives back at the table with the staff. Raistlin tries to stop them. Taz smacks him with the staff. The staff of Magius glows red. The staff of Meshago blue. And the gray gem responded with its own light. Among all of that magic, the time travel device activates. Kids, that's what we call a cliffhanger. The next chapter takes us back to Caramon and Tika, hosting Tanis in their home. They talk and reminisce before moving on to more current events. Gradually, they tell Tanis about Taz, Mary, and Destina. While discussing that, a knock on the door. A strange being in white robes, with an ever-shifting face, asks if it is Caramon's house, then introduces itself as the quote-unquote Keeper of Souls. I'm not sure what to say here, so we'll call him the Keeper, says that Sturm's and Raistlin's souls went missing. They both vanished at the same time. Tika, ever vigilant, doubts the Keeper. After ending the strange encounter, Tanis starts to put the pieces together. He guesses, or theorizes, that Taz changed time so that Sturm and Raistlin are no longer dead. Tika agrees that is a very real possibility. Caramon suggests that Tanis search out Astinus to get some answers. Tanis agrees and asks Caramon to come with him. Caramon protests, using Tika and Raistlin possibly coming back as an excuse. They both implore Tanis to figure out what happened and save Taz from, well, from himself, honestly. And not for my reaction. Okay, you got me. After chapter 33, I have no choice but to admit that I wanted more of the same from this book. But you may, parenthetically, with good reason, draw that conclusion after what I'm about to say. I miss the characters from the first book. I've said that before, but chapter 33 really hammered it home. Even with the rewritten history and the weird vibe, I enjoyed having them back in my life. Weiss and Hickman write the characters so that they have the same impact that they did all those years ago. Maybe old age has also softened me, because, and I've said this a few times, but nostalgia never works its magic on me. This chapter disproved that. I had more fun reading chapter 33 than I've had through the rest of the book combined. I tried, y'all. I honestly tried. When I disliked Destina's character and story, I kept reading. Through the inconsistent pacing, I kept reading. Hoping beyond hope for an eventual payoff, I kept reading. I wished that payoff would happen with Destina. I gave them the benefit of the doubt and waited for the villain-slash-anti-hero angle to pay off. So far, we just get this mush ball, slowly bending to the will of the Grey Gem and not really crushing anyone in her way. More just annoying and slightly inconveniencing them until they're no longer an impediment to her and the Grey Gem's quote-unquote plans. Not at all what I expected from this story. Then, like a shining beacon, came the original party. I went back in time with Taz to my teenage years and introduction to Dragonlance. The crazy part is that my teenage years, especially high school, sucked. I mean, how else does a kid get into D&D except by being socially awkward and ostracized by his peers? What's funny is that D&D often leads to further ostracization. But I digress. I always tell my students that if high school is the best 4 years of your life and you peak at 18, you're doing something terribly wrong. To get back to the main point, I just had an idea. Am I giving Weiss and Hickman too much credit by saying that they intentionally sabotaged? Parenthetically. Stronger word than I want to use, maybe? Let me think. That they intentionally made the book inconsistent to make the visit that much more impactful? No, never mind. That makes no sense. I have more respect than that for these authors. Dorks like me will geek out about it no matter what. Newbies probably wouldn't care, other than they finally get to meet the big deal characters mentioned a couple of times in the book. So, nothing is admitted through an admittedly risky strategy. I, a lifelong fan of the franchise, nearly gave up on the book several times. So new readers, with little invested except maybe their friend, parent, or the internet, told them how great Dragonlance is, have no reason to stick around, even with the possible payoff of a visit from characters last relevant almost 40 years ago. So, at the risk of again invalidating a rather large portion of my analysis, I withdraw the theory and ask that it be stricken from the record. I will keep it in the podcast, though. Because, hey, controversy sells, baby. What I hope comes through is how frustrated I am by this book. I keep running around in circles, chapter after chapter, to find an interesting hook to keep me reading. So far, the only consistent one has been the name Dragonlance. Not bad as hooks go, but I expected more. Because honestly, I'm a bit sad that chapter 33 gave me such a visceral reaction. Nothing else got me like this. Not Star Wars, Creed, or even any of the newer content like Mandalorian or the Marvel shows, other than WandaVision. The only other time that came the closest was the Captain Mjolnir payoff during Endgame. Okay, what's the point? I lost the thread again somewhere. The conflict is as follows. A, I claim not to be affected by nostalgia. B, this book affected me deeply through nostalgia. Okay, I just need to table this and let it process. I promise to revisit in the final wrap-up episode. Chapter 34 introduces a completely new character to Dragonlance, the Keeper of Souls. I remember no mention of this in the past. I vividly remember Flint's death, parenthetically mentioned in the chapter, and the after of Raistlin's death, where Caramon replays the quote-unquote bunnies from their childhood. I don't often cry over fictional death, but that one got me. If they mentioned the Keeper in the context of either of those deaths, I either missed it or never committed it to memory. Nevertheless, I like the introduction of the Keeper and the conversation to drive the story forward and set up for the next part. Like the giant world-ending dragon from the future scenes, I went to Google to see if I missed any clues from this book or others to fill in some of the mythology. Nope, nothing came up in a Google search. So a plot device, but an effective one, in my opinion. If you're going to have a mostly uneventful chapter, this is the way to do it. Introduce a new character, get people thinking, and then you can get back to the main story. Pretty good in my opinion. Jeez Louise, why did this book take so long to get going? Just so incredibly frustrating. But I'm focusing on the positive. The Keeper, pretty awesome. The Tanis, probably my favorite. Parenthetically, I always wanted to be Raceland, but knew I was Tanis. Finds himself reluctantly being the dad figure of the group. And finally, reluctant to say anything after being burned, with three chapters left, we have a cohesive narrative ready to be told. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, a link to our socials, including our YouTube, and the formerly mentioned video. I will be back on Friday with chapters 35 and 36. Talk to you then. Bye, guys. We are